From KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth, Denton, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jeff Whittington. You can call us this hour at 800-933-5372. You can email us your questions and answers to anything@kera.org. And that's where we got these to start us off today. Reginald in the, looks like Dallas area, says, could anyone explain whether the first words, in quotes, spoken phonetically by a baby, mama or dada, I think I'm getting that right, was and actually is the foundation of the words mom and dad. Secondly, Reginald continues, in other countries for which the words for mom and dad may be entirely different, are those first words actually acknowledged and celebrated as the child's first word of a parental title, or is it simply disregarded as typical baby noise until the desired parental titles in their language are spoken or pronounced? That's a good question. Robert in Dallas writes, in the early and mid-60s, there used to be a sign for the Dallas Cuban Club in Northeast Dallas. It was on Skillman Road, a couple miles south of 635. It was hidden behind trees, and all that was visible from the road was a large brick barbecue chimney. This was at the height of the Cold War, so my father used to joke that the barbecue was, he says, really a missile launcher. Does anybody know anything about the history of the Dallas Cuban Club? Gabrielle writes from unincorporated Tarrant County near Keller with the question, are there any public or charter high schools that offer Japanese language classes in Tarrant or Denton County? Amy writes from, looks like Dallas area, since we are looking for, this is from last week, since we were talking about long-lost films today, I, too, seek the name of a film from the 60s or 70s. Amy says, I first saw it in the 70s. It was about a person who'd been taken to a castle on an island by some sort of crazy, kooky scientist or nefarious villain, I can't recall which, who employed three wanton women to assist him in his capers. They were named Faith, Hope, and Charity, and were blonde, brunette, and redheaded. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us, anything@kera.org. Up first today is Stephen in Dallas. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing fine.
Good. My question is whether a koozie would work better cold, or excuse me, work better wet or dry.
Like you put a beer or a
your
soda
koozie,
can in.
You're drinking it poolside,
right,
or whatever. If it gets wet, is it gonna better insulate the can from the ambient heat, or is it going to make the beer warmer?
We'll ask and see if we get an answer.
All right, thanks.
800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Up next is Christina in Fort Worth. Hello, Christina.
Hi. I was just wondering the difference, if there's any, between a symphony, an orchestra, and a philharmonic. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you. Someone will call with those details. Last week, speaking of answers, we had this question about, by the way, the phone number is 800-933-5372. We had this question about dimmer switches and whether or not you save electricity when you're, you know, running the lights at a dimmer level. We got lots and lots of email about this. And probably one of the more succinct definitive answers comes from Leonard in Arlington, who says, I'm an electrical engineer and design circuitry that does exactly this function. He says, modern dimmer switches use active circuitry that turns the current to the light on and off at a very fast rate. He says, it's as if you could flip your light switch on and off very quickly. The result is an average current and power to the light is less than if you simply left the light on. He says, it is true, however, that older, much older, dimmers were indeed variable resistors, and the power not sent to the light was consumed by the resistor, so the net effect was the same as if you simply left the light on. 800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Let's talk to Sue in Springtown. Hello, Sue.
Hello. I have both a question and an answer.
Okay.
My question is, what can I put around my cat's dishes to keep the ants out?
But not to bother your
cats,
obviously.
Yeah,
okay.
I put ground pepper on the threshold of the door to keep them from coming in from outside. But I'm sure that's going to, you know, really have a problem with, the cats are going to have a problem with that.
I've also heard of people using just plain old chalkboard chalk and just drawing a line. And I've tried it before to see, you know, with across an ant trail to see if the ants would, and they kind of wander around a little bit, but I don't think it's going to, you know, keep them out of that cat food.
Yeah.
And plus, I don't know if you want to draw a circle on your floor.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Okay. My answer was, I called Best Buy about the antenna question.
Yeah.
With the converters.
Sure.
And they said you don't have to buy anything extra. Just, you know, like if you're using rabbit ears, just go ahead and plug that into the converter, and that's all you need to do.
Very good.
So you don't have to buy anything, you know, expensive.
Okay, well, thanks, Sue.
All right, thank you.
Take care. Line open 800-933-5372. Email from Joe in Dallas, who wrote to anything@kera.org. He says, apparently Dallas has a bike helmet ordinance. He says, having read the ordinance, I found it to be rather ambiguous. He says, it makes no declaration to what a helmet is. He says, there are a dozen different definitions to what qualifies as a helmet. Is this up to the officer to decide what qualifies as a helmet? Can it be enforced with any kind of uniformity? Is a hard hat considered a helmet? Can I make my own head-protecting device and call it a helmet? What about a baseball cap that protects my head from the sun? Is this a helmet? He says, why is it that I only see helmet requirement signs posted on bike trails where there are no cars? Is this yet another revenue source for the city? Call us, 800-933-5372. One more email from GL in Denton, who says, it's been estimated that 5 million homes have been placed in foreclosure in our country. Does anyone know how many homes, private residences, townhomes, condos, etc., how many there are in the United States? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us, anything@kera.org. Up next is Tina in Fort Worth. Hello, Tina.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
I have an answer for the Japanese program in the public school.
Okay.
In Fort Worth. The Fort Worth ISD Pasco High School offer Japanese language class. I'm thinking if you are over the other forward school, you probably could do it through the TV monitor and things like that.
Oh, okay. So Fort Worth ISD, at least at Pascal High School, offers Japanese language.
Yes.
Great. Thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you.
800-933-5372. Up next is Ben in Mesquite. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Jeff. Nice talking to you.
Same here.
I was just curious to know if it's possible to gain a pound of weight on less than a pound of food due to the calorie count.
If you're saying you're eating less than a pound of food, so you wouldn't gain the pound by eating it.
Right.
But over time as the calories are absorbed? Because it would take.
Well, is the weight gain proportional to the weight of the food?
Right.
Right.
I would argue first that probably your body's not going to absorb all those calories.
Correct. Right.
It's just over time eating a high caloric diet, you might gain weight. But it is an interesting question, I guess. Theoretically, is what you're asking. Would you be able to gain more? Okay. Well, let's ask and see if we get an answer.
Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything@kera.org. Mary writes us. To anything@kera.org. I'm interested in understanding more about expanded shale. There's a product, this is a product, she says, that nurseries have started selling for helping break up clay soil. As I understand it, the purpose is to increase porosity, which I'm sure it does, she says, but so does pea gravel or crushed granite, etc., which is substantially cheaper. As a petroleum geologist, I have not been convinced by the gardening community, she writes, as to why this product is worth the money. Is there another geologist, gardener, or soil scientist who can tell me more? 800-933-5372. Jimmy in Garland says, I've noticed a box with an antenna hanging down from streetlight fixtures. See attached photo. That's kind of hard to do in radio, but I did look at it, and it is on sort of the arm of the streetlight. The units, he says, are on light fixtures every half mile or so down certain roads, such as Centerville Road, and I'm wondering what they're for. Since they have an antenna, I'm assuming they're some sort of receiver. Any insight would be greatly appreciated. You know, there was actually a Steve Blow column in the Dallas Morning News. If you go to dallasnews.com and you look at, search for Steve Blow in opinion, and he took sort of a street light, because we always get all these questions about all the different doohickeys on street lights. And he went through and they circled and made a key of what every single thing was. But I don't know that this one was included in that. So I'll try to look and see, though, after the show. 800-933-5372. If you know the answer to that question or have another question, call us. Let's talk next to Mike in Louisville. Hello, Mike.
Oh, hi. I have a question about traffic regulations.
Okay.
When you get to a red traffic signal, you're allowed to turn red on right. When you get to a T-junction and you're on the crossbar of the T-junction, if the light is red, can you go straight across with the same, the same stopping and looking?
I don't think so, because if your light is red, the people on the street that dead ends into your street, their light's probably green.
Yeah, but I mean, when I'm at a cross junction and my light is red, the cross traffic light is red as well. The thing is, cars can't jump across, you know.
Right. Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to proceed across, even if it's just three streets on the intersection. But we'll see if someone has a different opinion for you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. 800-933-5372. Up next is Andrew in Denton. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Jeff. Love you. Love the band.
Oh, thanks.
I have an answer for the ants around the cat food dish thing.
Okay.
Diatomaceous earth works really good for killing ants in most situations. You just make a circle around the food dish and along with a path or wherever they're getting into the house, and it kills them, and it's worked really well for me.
Now, people have suggested this before, Andrew, and people have called and said, you know, it's dangerous if your pet inhales it or if you inhale it, but you're not worried about that, I guess.
They do. I mean, it is bad for the lungs if you inhale it, so
right.
You have to be careful when you're dropping it,
okay.
You know, that you're not, like, putting your nose right under it.
Right.
I don't think, once it's on the floor, I don't think it's really an issue for pets because basically, they'd have to get there and, like, sniff it right up, and
right.
I don't think it's really
okay.
a problem.
Okay.
And they use it as an anti-caking agent and stuff, so I would assume it's relatively safe.
Okay. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks.
All right, take care.
Bye.
And let's see if Harvey in Arlington concurs. Hello, Harvey.
Hi. I've had the same issue with the ants on cat food. And really, on a practical level, I have found that if you just put a saucer of water underneath the dish, it will stop. Well, first of all, ants get to the food by they'll drop a scent for other ants,
right.
and the water disrupts that. If you leave it down there for 24 hours, you might get one ant that floats across, but he ain't gonna get the other ones to come with him. I think that's safe. I think that's pretty safe, and it's very effective.
So you put the food dish in a plate or saucer of water.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, the other ideas about diatomaceous and everything, that might work to kill the ants.
Sure.
But if you're just trying to get it off your cat's food, that's probably the safest way.
Great. All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. A couple of other questions. An answer, rather, from the email from Shelley. I don't know the name of that movie. Shelley says, but I think the hero part was played by David Hartman. So you could probably go to IMDb, Internet Movie Database, imdb.com, look up David Hartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N, and see if one of those movies that David, rings a bell. Let's see, next is Teresa in Fort Worth. Hello, Teresa.
Hello. I had another answer for the ants in the cat food bowl.
Okay.
I have a lot of cats, and we have a serious ant invasion. I also use the water saucer trick, but if you're in a situation where you don't want to deal with the water, cinnamon also works and is also completely harmless. The cinnamon also disrupts the whole odor thing with the ants, and they don't like to cross the line of cinnamon, and the cats usually don't care if there's cinnamon around there.
Very good. Thanks very much.
You bet.
All right. And let's see, before we go to a break, let's talk to Asias in Dallas. Hello, Asias.
Hi, Jeff. My question is, where can I find a marble or a ceramic transitional strip, or they're also called threshold?
Okay, a threshold.
Transit between carpet and tile.
So you're looking for marble if you can find it.
I'm sorry?
You're looking for marble if you can find marble.
Yeah, marble okay. or ceramic.
Well,
yeah, that's what they.
We'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Okay,
right.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. It is anything you ever wanted to know. Our phone number is 800-933-5372. You can also email us anything at kera.org. We'll be right back. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number, 800-933-5372. The email address, of course, anything at kera.org. Big answer stack and a definitive answer, folks, from Tim Wagner, the spokesman for American Airlines. We had a question about the spots that were airing for nonstop service on American Eagle out of Love Field at Chicago O'Hare and how this fits into the Wright Amendment. And Tim says, I hope the following explanation helps. The new service from Love Field to Chicago O'Hare Airport was permissible before Congress made changes to the Wright Amendment in 2006. And Tim says, under that original Wright Amendment law, planes operated by any airline that serves or wants to serve Love Field with 56 or fewer seats can serve nonstop any domestic U.S. destination. New American Eagle service is on 50-seat Embraer regional jets with a capacity of less than the 56-seat limit. It's a similar service that Continental Airlines once had to Cleveland and the Delta Connection had to Atlanta previously. He says both Legend Airlines and American Airlines served points outside the right perimeter previously with aircraft that had 56 seats. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Last week, we ended the show with a question about why the sky is blue. And Rod, who first says, warning, never look directly at the sun during the day, and I'll back that up as well. He says, the white light from the sun consists of all colors from red to blue. The different colors are scattered by the air molecules with different efficiency. During the day, if you look away from the sun again, you see that the most efficiently scattered color is blue. In the evening, you can look more nearly at the sun. You see the least efficiently scattered color, which is red. And a couple weeks ago, we had a question about whether the high-priced gasoline was better than others. Jane says, go to the CarTalk website, cartalk.com, and you can search for it there. This is from September of 2000 in a response to a reader's question. The Maliazzi brothers talked about the issue in top-tier gas. According to their post, some of the automakers were unhappy with the deposits left in their engines, so decided to create standards for gasoline that exceed the federal standards. This is called top-tier gas. The post names the gas company selling top-tier gas at that time and gives a name of the website you can check out to find who's selling it at any given time, because apparently that list changes over time. The car guys also explain who might benefit from top-tier gas. Thanks very much, Jane. Back to the phones, 800-933-5372. Up next is Candace in Dallas. Hello, Candace.
Hi. I have an answer to the question about the weight of your food versus how many pounds.
Yeah, the question was, can you gain a pound of weight on less than a pound of food?
The answer is yes.
Really?
Because the calorie denseness. So 3,500 calories is a pound. So whether you burn up those calories and then you don't gain the pound or you don't burn up those calories and you do gain the pound.
So
your body converting its calories.
So you're saying eating 3,500 calories is equivalent to a pound of weight gain?
Correct.
So if you eat the food and you don't do any, you know, you could gain a pound of weight on less than a pound of food.
Correct. It's the calorie density. Because if you think about it, like when you go on a diet, you don't eat light foods.
Right.
You eat less calorie dense foods.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks.
Cool. Thanks. Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Jack in Branch. Hello, Jack.
Hey, bud. How you doing?
Doing well.
Hey, the question about the boxes that are hanging on the streetlight arms.
Yes.
That was actually a very, very early wireless system that a company put in. And you might, from those boxes, you might also see a cord hanging down. That cord used to attach to the top of the streetlight where the photocell is. That's how it got its power. And but they actually went out of business quite some time ago, so those boxes are actually not being used anymore.
Oh, okay. Very good. Thanks very much.
You got it.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. In answer to last week's question about how to control chiggers, Chris, who says, I live in the country on a farm. It's been in the family for over 100 years. We use the tricks of our ancestors and get a 50-pound bag of sulfur pellets or discs from the local feed store and use a spreader attachment to spread it around the house. A 50-pound bag, he says, will cover about 1 to 1.5 acres. The chiggers don't like it and will leave. He says, when we're out on the farm, we use an old sock filled with sulfur pellets and bang it against the legs of our pants, and the chiggers never get on us. He says, no chemicals, all natural. And Amy, who writes from Dallas, says chiggers, as well as fleas, ants, and other small pests, don't like to live in soil that's biologically active. She says, make it that way with dry molasses, enzymes, and other soil stimulants found at garden supply stores. You can also cause chiggers to go away by applying dusting sulfur found at the same stores. 800-933-5372. Up next is Joe in Dallas. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well.
I had a quick question. There is a massive structure at Royal and 35, and again on the, I think, the southern section of DFW Airport. And it looks kind of like a swing ride that you'd see at an amusement park that little kids would ride on and spin around, and they'd get sucked outwards. And a friend of mine who's a pilot said that he thought, he didn't know exactly what I was talking about, but he seemed to think it was something to do with the radar systems for the airplanes, but I'm just curious to know if anyone knows what those are used for.
I know we've had this question before, and I'm trying to remember if it's either the the radar beam that they lock onto as they fly in to land. The plane kind of locks onto this beam, and of course, I can't remember what specifically it's called. Or if it's the and I think that's what that is, the platform looking one, whereas the ball that looks kind of like a Buckminster Fuller ball, I think that's the cloudburst or the downdraft radar. But, you know, I think is the key part of my answer there. Let's throw it out to the audience. And someone, people have answered this before. I know they have.
And can I assume that there are other structures throughout the DFW area like the one at Royal and 35 then, or is that the only one outside of the airport?
You know, that's a great question. Let's ask and see. We've got lots of time. I'm sure we'll get an answer.
Thank you much.
All right. Thanks very much. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. 2 weeks ago, was it 2 weeks ago? I think it was maybe longer than 2 weeks ago. We had a question about why it's so hard to cut multiple pieces of paper with a pair of scissors. And Daniel in Dallas says, I have the answer. When you try to cut multiple pieces of paper with a pair of scissors, you've got two different blades pulling in both directions. And the only thing that's holding the paper in place is your non-dominant hand. Says professional paper cutters have a guillotine-style blade that comes down from above and or slides from one side to the other. They also have an extremely strong clamp that holds down the paper to prevent it from sliding. With larger paper cutters, like this one, they can cut more than 100 sheets at a time. But for home use, there are many different types of paper cutters that will cut several pieces of paper. The product's description will usually say how many pages it will cut at once. 800-933-5372. Up next is Nicole in Dallas. Hello, Nicole.
Hi there. This time of year, for about 5 minutes, you can get fresh currants at markets and stores.
Right.
Few and far between. And I wanted to know if you could freeze fresh currants, if they would survive being frozen. Not to eat just by themselves, but to use in a recipe later.
Because you can get dried ones, obviously, most of the time.
Yes, and you would want to soak them in liquor or water or whatever to bring them back to life, unless you wanted to cook with them dry. But they don't have the same flavor when they're dry as they do when they're fresh.
Well, let's ask and see if we get an answer for you. Thanks. 800-933-5372. Email anything at KERA.org. One additional email on the water towers function. This is from Chris, who says, in addition to the previous caller's answers, water towers also help to reduce the number of pumps needed. He says, at the low demand time, this is from last week, folks, at the low demand times, he says, the pumps fill the water tower with water, and then that water can be used during high times by way of gravity to provide the force or water pressure. In regards to the question last week about paper towels and Kleenexes or tissues or toilet paper being recyclable, Greg in Plano says, City Recycling will not generally take wet paper products and request that they are dry before they recycle. He says, paper towels and other home paper products are compostable in industrial compost facilities. They break down in the heat and organic material. Coffee filters can be composted the same way. And actually, I've never done it with paper towels or toilet paper, which it sounds pretty awful to me. But coffee filters, I have composted coffee filters successfully. I'm saying that, not Greg. I'm saying I've done that successfully in my compost pile. Tom and Dallas, in answer to the marble threshold, let's see. Daniel says, I've seen them at Home Depot in a couple of sizes, but they only have white marble. Tom in Dallas says, when I put new tile on my bathroom floor, he says, I bought my marble threshold at Lowe's. He says, I think Home Depot sells them as well. You can get them in two thicknesses, one to transition between tile and wood and a thicker one for tile and carpet. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to another Daniel in Carrollton. Hello, Daniel.
Hi. I was wondering if anybody would know
if the fish in the oceans drink water.
Hmm.
I mean, it's I thought, you know, if you drink ocean water, you die. But fish apparently either don't drink water or they have some kind of immunity to the salt water.
Right. My guess, my just, you know, totally random guess would be that they might get their water needs met by the prey they eat, you know, the water that's in. But then that begs the question,
yeah.
where does the prey get the water?
Right.
So,
yeah.
Well, let's ask, see if we get an answer for you.
Great. Thank
you. Thank you. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Tim wants to know what to do with fluorescent bulbs and tubes when they burn out. He says, I understand there's mercury in the bulbs. Tim, take them to your home chemical collection center. You can. It looks like you're writing from Weatherford. So you might call your city or county government and see where the home hazardous chemical collection center is. And you can take them there. Let's talk next to Lisa in Dallas. Hello, Lisa. Lisa, are you there?
Yes.
Yes. Go right ahead. Lisa, I need you to turn your radio down and go ahead with your question.
Okay. My question is, why is it that whenever you take the baby's sonogram picture, even in the 3D pictures, you can't see the baby's hair?
Hmm. Well, maybe it just doesn't show up, but we'll ask and see if someone has an answer for you.
Okay, great.
Right, thank you. 800-933-5372. Up next is Ryan in McKinney. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Jeff. How's
yes.
it going?
It's going well. Go right ahead.
Excellent. I had a question in regards to the white crosses on some roadways. I've seen them, like, on shoulders of highways and, like, a frontage road near my home and, like, just even on residential roads. And I was just wondering if they're significant for, like, air travel or what they're for, because, I've seen them all around and I wondered every time I see them.
Okay, you're talking about painted crosses, not crosses that are planted by family members to commemorate.
Right,
sort of
right.
Okay.
Yeah, like they're on the pavement itself.
Right. We've heard on this very show that they are used in satellite photos to overlap and make them all line up. Like if you look at, you know, Google Earth views or satellite views, they use those X's that are painted on the roadways to line everything up so that it can, you know, so that it's seamless.
Oh, okay. So like commercial or governmental or all?
I guess probably all of the above.
Oh, okay. Well, excellent. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Take care.
Right. You too.
Let's talk next to Bert in Fort Worth. Hello, Bert.
Yes. Hello. How are you doing?
Doing well.
I had an answer to the question on the structures that are just outside or on the perimeter of the airports.
I knew you would call, Bert.
Huh?
I knew that you or someone would call with an answer.
those are the balls are actually covers for Doppler radar.
Okay.
The structures that they're sitting on are to get them above the ground. And the reason why the structure, basically like a big pad, it's actually to remove ground clutter from the so the radar beam is actually not it's being deflected from going, you know, down toward the ground and picking up ground clutter from structures and
right.
stuff like that.
So it's high enough that it doesn't get that interference.
Right, and as a matter of fact, that structure is actually tilted up at a slight angle, and it's just a mechanical way of removing those radar waves that would be heading down to the ground and picking up ground clutter.
Now, is there a flat one that doesn't have a ball as well?
Yes, there are.
Okay, and what are those all about?
The radars, they're Doppler radars. They detect micro changes in density. Which is why they can detect wind shear, which is what
wind
you're
shear.
About.
That's the word that escaped me earlier.
Doppler radar is much more effective at detecting wind shear because it actually can detect very minute changes in air densities. So when a wind column shifts very dramatically, that would be like a reflective surface, and it would show up on the radar.
Great, thanks very much.
Alrighty, thank you.
All right, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. And Kelly in Fort Worth writes to remind us, please let your listeners know there's a big difference between the type of diatomaceous earth used in gardening and insect control versus the type used in pool filters. The first type is relatively harmless to everyone except bugs with exoskeletons. And Kelly says the other type can be dangerous if not handled and used properly. I recommend going to your local feed and grain store or a site like Howard Garrett's DirtDoctor.com site, Kelly writes, to get more information. And also, I use DE, diatomaceous earth, to deter fleas and roaches around the perimeter of the house, and have even, she says she's even fed it to her cat when she got worms. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next is Aaron in Arlington. Hello, Aaron.
How's it going?
It's going well.
Good. So I've got a question. My television does something weird with its reception. When there is, like, say there's a commercial going on and it has a white background, it will mess, like the static sound will kind of come over the audio, but it's only with a white background. So I was curious if anybody knows why that happens.
It's probably, you know, outside the parameter. It's sort of like a feedback kind of thing. It's too hot for your TV set. And this is just my, the producer sitting in the TV control room guy who doesn't really know all the details. But I know that if video is too hot, it's sort of overdriving your television. Are you on cable or are you on antenna?
Just an antenna.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well too. And someone will have a definitive, like, real specific answer. But I think that's what it is. It's just the video is it's hot.
Okay. And there's nothing to really do about that. It's just going to kind of happen with an antenna.
I don't think so. Let's ask the audience though and see if we get a better answer for you.
All right.
800-933-5372. Up next is JT in Dallas. Hello, JT.
Yes. I'm answering the question about eating a pound of food and gaining a pound of weight.
Okay.
Something that can be harmful is the amount of salt in the food. If one has heart or kidney problems, you're not able to excrete the salt that you eat. You retain fluid, and some people can even gain 5 or 10 pounds overnight from eating a lot of salt in their food. So the salt makes a difference. It's fluid retention.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's anything you ever wanted to know. You can call us at 800-933-5372. You can email us at anything@kera.org. We'll be right back. From KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth, it is anything you ever wanted to know. I'm Jeff Whittington. You can call us at 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. For the rest of the hour, your questions and answers. And a couple more questions I wanted to get in to at least this week's show so we can try to get some answers either today or over the weekend for next week. Jerry in Arlington wants to know if there is a place in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where a dog owner can get instruction on how to groom and trim a standard poodle. Art in Fort Worth says, we live in Southwest Fort Worth off of Vickery Park and have been seeing these plastic and metal hexagonal boxes alongside several streets, including River Park, Vickery, and Bel Air. These boxes, Art says, each have an antenna and 4 electrical outlets with three or four wires plugged into them, and several boxes will be strung together by these wires. Does anyone know what these are and what they're for, he asks. Susan wants to know if anyone knows of a software compatible with Windows that can transfer old videos and cassettes to a digital and DVD format. Tammy in Arlington wants to know, with those grocery store plastic bags, Tammy says, we gather them like nobody's business. Is there anywhere I can send them for recycling? Your store that you shop in may very well have a plastic bag recycling container in the lobby or in the back or somewhere. Just, I would ask the customer service folks at the store you shop at, but we'll also see if anyone else has a suggestion. Lee in Dallas says, my parents are about to build their dream home in the Lakewood area of Dallas, and they want to have the land blessed by a Buddhist before construction begins. Does anyone know where they can go or who they can call to arrange this? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us, anything at kera.org. Up next is Paul in McKinney. Hello, Paul.
Hi. I had an answer of sorts regarding to the fish in the ocean drink water question. It's kind of incomplete, but I remember taking an oceanography class in San Diego, and our professor was telling us, and I don't remember if he limited it to a certain type of fish or all fish, but there was a certain gland in a fish that he was telling us you could cut open and get fresh water out of. So I'm thinking that fish in the ocean kind of can distill salt out and somehow, you know, from the ocean create fresh water, and that water is what's used to hydrate their system. That's,
okay.
So
okay, at this point, that's the answer.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
All right. Line open 800-933-5372. A couple more questions to get to today. May says, to stop unwanted mail from different various companies that send coupons, I've requested that they remove my name and address from their mailing list. They said in their email that they would do so 3 times, but they keep sending me a coupon, which I don't want to receive. Can I sue this company? May also asks, I've put some company names for Catalog Mail Stop on the Catalog Stop request website, but I still receive some of them. Can I sue them? And also, I also registered my home phone number, May says, for the Do Not Call list, but I still receive phone calls from many companies, especially debt solution companies that I've never contacted. Do I have any legal recourse? Krishna writes, I live in a 1962 Pier and Beam home in Richardson. I have a bizarre situation where all my cotton knit clothes have holes in them, all in the same place, in the front bottom part. Our bedroom and closet has carpet, not wood floors. I have a dozen mothballs in the closet. It only happens to my clothes. My husband's knit clothes have no holes. Please advise on what this could be and any remedy. Is it a moth or what? And Jennifer writes, my husband is from Lithuania. I would like our 3 children to be exposed to the Lithuanian culture and language. Is there a native tutor, or a group of Lithuanians who meet somewhere in the Dallas area? Call us, 800-933-5372. The email, anything at kera.org. Up next is Russell in Plano. Hello, Russell.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's going well.
Yeah, I got a question for you. It's for the radio on my car, specifically when I'm listening to talk radio, such like interviews with Chris Boyd and whatnot. The problem with my radio is that Chris Boyd sounds great on the radio when she's interviewing, but maybe her interviewee is standing away from the microphone, so I have to turn the volume up to listen to the guy's response. Then I have to turn it back down to listen to her again. Is there some sort of device I can find that would put like a 10-second delay on my radio so it would automatically have the volume readjusted?
You know, I don't know if there is, and I will say that that you've pinpointed a problem that we're always trying to deal with, Russell. You know, we interview people over the phone, you know, pretty regularly on the show, and sometimes we get a fantastic phone line, and sometimes we don't get a fantastic phone line. And to all the people who suggested that we ask the guests to speak right into the phone receiver, we ask every single guest to do all of those things. And, sometimes that's just what we end up with. So
another thing is it's not really the interviewee, too. It's sometimes Chris Boyd, the volume will be fine, but then when it goes to her breakaway music, it's blaring through my radio, and I have to crank it down really fast again. So sometimes it's not even the voice volume; it's just the transitioning into the music.
We'll ask the audience if there's some kind of device you can get.
Sounds good.
Thanks for your call.
All right, thanks.
Let's talk next to Tom in Dallas. Hello, Tom.
Hi, I'm wondering about a dead raccoon carcass that I think floated away into the sewer line before
the storms,
animal control.
The storm sewer?
Yes,
right.
Before animal control could come and pick it up. And I'm wondering, does that go into the Dallas drinking water, and is that another reason not to drink Dallas water?
Well, I mean, you know, I would just say everything that dies goes into the ecosystem, and every drop of water comes out of the ecosystem, first of all. But I thought you were going to ask, you know, whose responsibility is to come get it once it leaves the street? Is it now the water company's responsibility, or is it animal control? But I don't know that that's a reason not to drink tap water. I mean, tap water is, it's just, by my standard, I will ringingly endorse tap water. But some other listeners may have a different opinion, Tom.
Okay, but does that go into the water system, that dead raccoon carcass? That's my question.
Well, you think about it, all the you know, oil leaks and all the, you know, yard clippings that are blown into the street and all the gasoline that gets spilled in the service station parking lot, all that washes into the street and right into the storm sewer as well. So, yeah, it all goes into the water drainage system, I guess, the storm sewers, and then ultimately probably you know, into the Trinity, I would guess, here in Dallas. So, yeah, and then it goes to a lake, and then it gets pulled out of a lake and gets, you know, chlorinated and processed and treated and sent back into the pipes into our homes and businesses.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
All right, thanks very much. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next is Latoya in Grand Prairie. Hello, Latoya.
Hello. Enjoy your show.
Oh, thanks very much.
You're welcome. My question is Texas the only state to have a Pledge of Allegiance, and if so, why? And if not, what other states have one?
Well, we'll ask. If we don't get an answer for you today, maybe next week we'll get one for you.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see. Up next is Bradshaw in Waxahachie. Hello, Bradshaw.
Hi. I was calling to ask you if you could find someone who knows about these tiny little bitty bugs called sosas, with a P-S-O-S-I-S. They get on wood, they get on cement, they're on everything, and they're a problem. And I wondered if somebody just knew what would get rid of them, the common person could use to get rid of them.
Okay, and what do they look like?
They're tiny. They're almost microscopic.
Okay.
And they jump. But they look like a little bitty pot bookworm.
Okay.
They're everywhere, and I just can't stand them.
Okay. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you, and if not today, then next week, okay?
Okay. I thank you very, very much.
Thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Tara in Arlington. Hello, Tara.
I was calling with an answer about the Buddhist thing, or at least a partial answer. There is a Buddhist meditation center in Arlington that is off of Bowen Road. I think it's Bowen and Clover Lane.
Okay.
And I don't know the phone number, but you could probably Google it. And they they have regular meditation classes there, and I imagine that if they don't have an actual Buddhist person who can come out there, they would know who does have it.
Very good. Thanks very much.
No problem. Right. Thank you.
Let's see, from the email inbox, anything at kera.org, Terry and Hurst says, Walmart and Albertsons accept plastic bags and large containers at the entrance of their store, and thanks for recycling. Terry says, there are also some fantastic reusable bags that you can buy at reusablebags.com. They are mesh, expandable, and great. You know, I think everybody's selling reusable bags now, too. Tom says, if you live in Dallas, you can recycle your plastic grocery bags in your blue rolling recycle cart. I had this problem and called the city, and they said it was okay to put them in the recycling cart. Woody in Dallas says Home Depot has stepped up to the plate and offers to take dead mercury-containing mini fluorescent bulbs back for recycling at the exchange desks. It would be nice, Woody adds, if all retailers that sell these mercury-containing bulbs would accept dead ones for recycling. He says kudos to Home Depot for being the first to recognize and accept the responsibility of recycling these little bulbs that are being marketed so vigorously to American consumers. He says it's not likely that many people will drive all the way across Dallas to the hazardous materials drop-off location. He says the only one I know about for Dallas is right on the border with Garland to drop off one of these bulbs. Well, thanks for your email, Woody. I appreciate that. And Jerry concurs. Home Depot recently announced that they will be accepting fluorescent bulbs for recycling. Let's talk to David in Arlington. Hello, David.
Hello. I had an answer for the turning video into digital.
Yeah.
You can get a video capture card for your computer, and it just plugs into the slots you have available, PCI slots, and that'll allow you to plug a coaxial into the back of your computer and to plug your VCR into that, and that will allow you to play the VCR through and record digitally, but you'll need, like, software to do the video recording.
Okay, and what's it called again? What kind of card is it?
The video capture.
Video capture card.
Yeah.
Very good. Thanks very much. And to piggyback on that answer, Mike in Wichita Falls says to transfer VHS and video game footage into DVD or computer-readable formats, try a simple product called a Dazzle 80 made by Pinnacle. He says it's a device with an S-video or red, yellow, white input with a USB plug on one end. Software comes with it to facilitate the conversion. As simple as pressing play on the VCR and pressing record in the software. He says it's about $30 to $40 used on eBay, and he says he's made over 50 videos for YouTube with it, and it's very simple to operate. It's called Dazzle 80. Let's see. Walt says the visible blue light has a wavelength of 475 nanometers. Because the blue wavelengths are shorter in the visible spectrum, they are scattered more efficiently by the molecules in the atmosphere, and this is technically what causes the sky to appear blue. Jay says the economist This Week had an article that states of the 129 million housing units in America, 18.6 million stand empty. And it goes on to say at 2.9%, the homeowner vacancy rate, which measures the share of vacant homes for sale, has reached the highest point since measurement began in 1956. But the answer that we were looking for was how many housing units there are in the country, 129 million, according to the July 12th article in The Economist. Let's talk next to Hank in Dallas. Hello, Hank.
Hey.
Yes, go right ahead.
Hey, I hear somebody already answered your Buddhist question about the to have the home blessed. I was just going to tell everybody there's a huge Buddhist temple out in Oak Cliff down off of Crystal Lake Road.
Okay.
So if anybody runs into a problem there, I'm sure they could contact somebody at the temple.
Okay, wonderful.
Also, the raccoon in the stormwater system. You were right about the stormwater system. It, all that stuff's channeled into the Trinity, but it goes through a series of trash removal racks. And so something like the carcass of a raccoon would be pulled out of the trash removal racks and taken out to the landfill prior to actually hitting the water.
And everything else, too, for that matter.
Pretty much, yeah. They haul hundreds and hundreds of tons of stuff out of the water. Of course, a lot of it still gets in there, but they pull an enormous amount of stuff out of the water before it ever gets to the Trinity.
Right. And I would also say to those who are talking about the, you know, bottled water versus tap water, if you look at a lot of your bottles of bottled water, the source is some other city's municipal water supply.
Most of it is. Yeah. Most bottled waters are actually just tap water.
Well, Hank, thanks for calling.
All right.
Let's see. From Mike, biology teacher, it says here, saltwater fish drink seawater and excrete the salt through their gills and some in urine. And he says seabirds drink seawater and excrete salt from glands near the tops of their beaks. And let's see, I think we have time for maybe one more caller. Gretchen in Dallas. Hello, Gretchen.
Hey, Jeff, it's Gretchen.
Yes.
I was going to say that you can recycle fluorescent bulbs at Home Depot, but also IKEA takes them.
Oh, okay.
So,
very good.
That's easier than the hazardous waste place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
all right,
thanks
very much. If it's more convenient.
Yeah.
Let's talk next quickly to Susan in Arlington. Hello, Susan.
Oh, hi.
Yes.
I think I have an answer for the lady with the holes on the bottom of the front of her shirt.
Okay.
If she wears her shirt untucked, it could be catching on the button of her jeans, because the same thing happens to me.
Oh, okay. So it's it may not be a critter in her closet after all.
It's not a critter. It's not a critter at all, because I have several shirts that I wear untucked that are the same way.
It's like the end of Brazil. The critter is us.
There you go.
All right. Thanks, Susan.
Sure. Bye.
It is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. It is produced by yours truly today, our engineer, Mr. Eric Bright. Thank you, Eric. Fiona Norton answered phones. Brandilyn Barnett is our assistant producer. Thanks, Fiona and Brandilyn. We also had assistance from Emily Cox, our intern. Thanks, Emily. Thanks very much to each and every one of you for calling and participating. Don't forget, you can download episodes of the show at kera.org and sign up for the free weekly podcast while you're there. And if you do have questions and answers, comments, or suggestions, you can send those to us at anything@kera.org. Once again, I'm Jeff Whittington. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great weekend.